Great, great singing this morning. That was really nice worship. It was awesome. We are in a series, just starting a series, called The Problem with Religion. Last week, the problem with religion was that they always need an explanation, and our God works in ways that look crazy sometimes, and you don't always get one. People that have to have an explanation for everything are really out of luck when it comes to the ministry and the service and the following of Jesus Christ. Today, the problem with religion, we're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The problem with religion, as I see it and as Paul defends it in the Bible, the problem with religion is their primary concern is appearances and not hearts. Their primary concern is appearance. That's a problem with religion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We find this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you a cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart." Paul's defending his ministry. He's defending who he is. He's defending the apostles and the ministry of Jesus Christ against other ministries, other religious people who are so reliant and concerned about appearances, outward appearances. This is what it should look like. At the end of 2 Corinthians, he's actually talking about other so-called believers like you and I. He calls them super apostles, but he ends up saying they are children of Satan. They've disguised themselves as angels of light, and they're not. Earlier on in this book, he was talking about the Jewish people who follow the law, and he is now drawing this bead on the true ministry of Jesus Christ, and he says, look, we're concerned about what's on people's hearts, not about appearances. To do that, to show that, he uses two illustrations here in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, he uses the illustration of a jar of clay. And chapter 5, he uses the illustration of a tent. And that's where I want to look this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He's been talking about this treasure that he has, this treasure of Jesus Christ. And he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, there's the illustration. There it is defined. There it is. Everything we need to know about it. We have this treasure of Christ. We have this treasure of the gospel and of the cross of forgiveness and love. We know him. We know that Jesus is God. It's there. And we have this treasure in jars of clay, a clay pot. And that is to show that the power is not ours. We're weak. This is a clay pot. And as it's used, you can see it's dirty. It has dirt. It has stains. This is not a lovely piece. And I'll tell you, it's fragile. If I was to get a hammer and go like that, you'd all expect it to break. It's fragile. If you have flowers at all, you know they've gone to plastic because they're a lot more durable. This has a hole in the bottom. It seeps water out. I mean, this is not a durable stainless steel safe-like vessel. This is a clay pot. And he says that you and I are clay pots. This is us. And we're fragile. We get cracked easily. We get dirty and the dirt clings to us. It doesn't wipe off easily. But inside of this pot grows a seed into a flower, into a plant that overshadows this pot. And it's a very good pot for growing life. But he says that's us. That's our ministry. That's who we are. We're weak. We're easily cracked and broken. But we grow life really well. And it's all to show that the power and the magnificence isn't us. It's not about us. We're all so fragile. We're all dirty. It can't be about appearances, because this appears to be just kind of natural, just kind of plain, just kind of organic. I mean, that is not the focal point of what's going to happen there. And neither are you and I. We want to hold the soil that makes a seed grow into a beautiful flower, and we're going to have water seeping out of us, but it is not about the appearance of that pot. And the power is not here. Paul says, this ministry is not about appearances. It's not about bragging about the powerful and the mighty and the strong and the brilliant sitting in these pews and standing on this platform. It's not about us at all. There's something inside of us that's powerful, but it's not us. I like this passage about the clay pot. If you have your Bible, follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to things that are seen, not appearances, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. This isn't what we're looking at. This isn't what it's about. He says that in his body, Paul says, in our bodies, in our clay pots, there is death and life working at the same time. That's what's happening here. There's death and life working at the same time. As you fill this up and the water and the dirt is all in there, this thing here is getting weaker and dirtier and more cracked as you go, and yet life is just growing out of it. He says, I'm okay with death working in me. I'm okay with me being afflicted and perplexed. I'm okay with me being in despair. I'm okay with my body being punished. I'm okay with me dying. I'm okay with the bumps and the bruises. I'm okay. Because through me, the gospel is going out. And I take it out where it goes, to places and to people, and it's rough on me. But that's okay, because there's life blooming all around me. And the thanksgiving and the praise going up to God as that life and that gospel spreads out, the thanksgiving is just multiplying, just multiplying. So death is at work in me. I'm being spent. I'm being poured out. But life is growing all around me. All around me. And the power is not me. The power is the Lord's. It's the Spirit. Second illustration then he uses begins in chapter 5, and it's the illustration of a tent, a tent. Mark, got pictures of some tents for us? Let's see what Mark's got up there on the screen. There's a tent, eh? Looks like yours. There's a tent. Old army tent, maybe? Big army tent, maybe? Old tent. Got him a telescope there. Tent. Kind of tore and ragged there. I was once camping in Turkey Run with my wife, and there were so many raccoons that running around at night. We were all sitting by a fire. There's so many raccoons. We had licorice in our tent. And the raccoons actually crawled over and worked the zipper open in our tent and got in and was getting the licorice out. It's really not good protection. It's really not safe. Tents are just kind of temporary, right? I mean, I got to tell you, everybody in this building, you live in a tent. Everybody here lives in a tent. Because the writer of the scripture we're reading just said, you are a tent. Your body's a tent. You live in a tent. Follow along, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, that's he's talking about your body. If your body, it's a tent, it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we're still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we're of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what has been done in this body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. What we are is known to God, and I hope it's known to your conscience. We're not commending ourselves to you. We're giving you a cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what's in the heart. There's some magnificent scripture right here. But for those of you who would boast about the appearance, for those of you who would boast about the magnificence of your building, the magnificence of your praise band, the magnificence of, if you talk to someone and it seems like all that's coming out of their mouth is, our preacher's a really good preacher, your preacher's a really hillbilly preacher. Our preachers are real. Our church is magnificent, and we have screens everywhere, and we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and we have this. That's all they can talk about. He says, I want to give you a starting point. I want to give you something to come back and talk to these people about, that the power is not in your stuff or in your size. It's not in your technology. It's not in your brilliance. It's not in your all the power you have and all the power the biggest church in America has. The power is not in who you are looking at or what you're seeing. The power is in Him. Our problem then, our problems are not at what we're looking at. It is fixed by Him. The solution to the problems we have are fixed by Him, not this. We are tents. Temporary, folded up, ragged. They serve the purpose. But did you hear what that scripture said? Someday your tent is going to be swallowed up by life. Living in a tent isn't life. Someday, he says, there's a building. Your body is going to be a building. Compared to the tent you're in, there's a building. Your body is going to be more like a building, a structure, eternal, than this tent you're living in now. So this whole thing is not about what you're looking at, appearance. It's not about your appearance. It's not about my appearance. It's not about your house. It's not about my house. It's not about your finances. It's not about my finances. We're tents. This is about Him. And there are people who just, all they go by when they look at church, when they look at God, when they, is appearances. Things, stuff. And he says, well, look, number one, you're a tent. Number two, you're a clay pot. So that's not what we should be looking at. We have to look at the power. We have to look at the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing? We have to know that these bodies are here to be folded up and put away. This is not our permanent home. We have to get our perspective right. And when you come across people and they're church people and all they talk about is my church, we have this, my church, we have that. And I hope we don't have anybody here that way. Church is a whole lot more than what you can put your hands on. If that's all it is, you may be religious, and not in the ministry, in the fellowship, in the family of Jesus Christ. I want to make two observations as I wrap up the problem with religion and appearances. And it tells us very clearly we don't look at things that are seen. In chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18, he says, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We don't look to things that are seen, but to the eternal things. Everything you see is transient. Nothing you have, nothing you wear, nothing you own, nothing you drive is going with us. Nothing. The only thing that goes are people, our bodies, human beings. We can't look at all this stuff. We have to look at hearts. When we come across people who are looking at stuff in their ministry, we have to say to them, well, look, we have to look at hearts. We have to look at the eternal. We have to look at the unseen. We walk by faith and not by sight. I trust an unseen God. Your heart and your mind has to come off of everything you see. We have to look at things like the Spirit of God in this person. Does this person have the Holy Spirit of God? In the same letter, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, Paul just kept laying it out in verses 3 and verses 6 and verses 8, and he comes back to it again here, and he says, look, it's the Spirit of God. Can you see the Spirit of God in someone? Let me ask you that. Can you see the Spirit of God in someone? Can you talk to someone? Can you look at their life? Can you see they are filled with the Spirit? They have the Spirit of God. He moves them. They move by the Spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you even know what I'm saying? That's what I'm asking you. Somehow he's saying you should see this. You should look at this person and go, they're not a great speaker, but they're powerful. This person is not that impressive, but it's powerful. I'm not impressed with him, but it's powerful there. The Spirit of God is working. If you can't see that, you need to open your eyes because the Spirit of God is here working at Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. All day. He is all over this place, and I don't know why. I'm not impressive. You're not impressive. I'm a pot. You're a tent. We're not impressive, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is moving here, and I don't know. Can you see it? Do you know it? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what we're to be looking at. That's what we're to be looking at. He says we should see light. Chapter 4, he says we have this light that is shown into our dark hearts. Our hearts are dark. And the light of the gospel, God shone the light into our hearts and gave us light. You know what we saw? For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness when he created everything, he has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our hearts were dark like this planet was, and he said, let there be light, and he shone into your heart to see God in Jesus Christ. No one else. Jesus Christ. And he says, you look in the face of Jesus Christ and you see God because God lighted up your heart. He lit it up. You were dark. Your heart was dark. And we should look around and see that. We should see that in our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hearts that have been lit up and the light is beaming out. Jesus Christ is the Lord. I look at that cross and I see God. God hung on that cross for me. Who told me that? Who taught me that? Who proved that to me? Nobody. Nobody. That declares it, but so what? But I know it's true. Because God shined light into my heart. If you don't have that light in your heart, you're not His. You're not saved. I don't care what you say. You're in darkness. The Spirit's not in there. You're in darkness. And you know it's true. You know what I'm saying is true. That's what we got to look for. He would go on and say this, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." Even though we once regarded even Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, and all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God. I look at every single person, and I no longer look at anyone according to the flesh. I no longer look at you as beautiful, rich, kind, ugly, impressive, powerful, handsome, stinking. I look at no one according to the flesh anymore. I look at you. Are you a new creation or are you not? I look at you and do I see Christ in you? Do I see the light in you? Do I see the Holy Spirit in you? Are you a new person, a new creation? Old things have passed away. You're not who you was. Or do I look by appearances? Nicely dressed. Well kept. Respectful, kind. Pretty. Handsome. Not no more. He says, I used to look at Jesus that way. Huh, carpenter, rabbi. That's his brother. That's his mom. I used to look at Jesus that way. Guy's a nut. Says he's God's son. No longer. No longer. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God in glory. When I look in His face, I see God. That's what we look at. There's a new creation. There's people in darkness. They need life. They need light. They need the Spirit. That's how I look at people. Here's one really helpful thing in here for you. And for me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, when we talk about ministry, and ministry means serving. That's what ministry means. It's your serving. Are you in a ministry or are you in religion? Let me ask you. Are you in ministry? Are you in the ministry of Jesus Christ or are you in a serving? Are you in a religion or do you serve Him? He's your Lord. That's what this is. Paul says, we're in a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of God's there and this person's here and I've got to bring them together. I've got to get them to God. I've got to be in between and there's got to be a seed planted here that grows this life. And I'll give up myself to get that life. It's a ministry of reconciliation that's been given to us, is what this says. And that scares some of us. We're scared of that. We're scared of speaking it. We're scared of opening that can with people. And man, we pray, I need courage. Lord, I need courage. This is where you find courage. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we're of good courage. And we'd rather be away from this body and with Him in a building than here. Where does courage come from? It comes from knowing this is not my home. This is a tent. This is a pot. They can't destroy it. Throw it, beat it, kick it. I don't care what you do to it, because there's a building waiting for me. I'm not walking by sight. I'm not walking this way. I have a father. I have a home. I have a building. I'm going. That's where courage comes from. Go ahead. Kick my tent. Go ahead. Throw my clay pot around. That's what he said. We're beaten down, but we're not killed. We're afflicted. We're not destroyed. We're oppressed, but there's nothing going to happen to this tent and to this pot unless God lets it happen. And when it does, I put on life. So I have a building. And the bigger my faith gets in that, the courage just goes right with it. Go ahead and kick my tent. Go ahead. Throw my pot around. You'll just grow more life. There's just going to be more life growing out of that thing. And the more you have faith and the more you know this is not my home, your courage will go off the chart. That's what Paul's saying. That's where courage comes from. It comes from your faith. So let me just start with this question. You have ministry or are you in religion? Is this ministry for you or is this religion? Is it all about appearance here? Go down there, I have a nice church, it's quiet, it's polite, it's fun, it's easy. I go to my hour and a half. This is my religion. Or is it ministry? You're a servant. You're a servant or you're a privileged participator. You're a privileged patron. You could have gone to McDonald's this morning, but you came here and you put your $10 in the plate. You could have done that at McDonald's. You're a privileged patron. And when you do that, then you have privileges coming back to you. You should get a hamburger back. Are you a servant in the ministry of Jesus Christ with a pot that they can't destroy unless he tells us to, with a tent that you can't, it's just temporary? Are you a servant? Are you a privileged patron? Privileged participator? I'm a member with benefits. Is this ministry? Or religion? Are you a speaker of what you believe? Are you a private practitioner? This is just me and my Lord at home in my prayer closet. This, I don't talk about this in public to people. Paul said, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so also we spoke. He just quoted the Psalms for crying out loud. And he just said, I believe and so I speak, even when I'm hurting, even when I'm distressed, even when I'm troubled, even when things are hard, even when they're kicking my tent. I believe and so I speak. So are you a speaker? Or are you a private practitioner? You've created your religion. You're so brilliant. You've taken a little bit about what you really think about this Bible here, and you've taken a few other philosophies and a few other things that you and your wisdom you've picked up along the way, and now you have your own religion that you can just keep to yourself at home. I don't bother other people with it. Everybody's okay. Everybody's good. God loves everybody. I believe that. And everything's good. What good are you? There is no good in that. I'm just going to tell you, there is absolutely no good in that. If man is basically good, everything is basically fine, you get to take the smorgasbord of philosophy, religion, your experience, whatever grandma said, and you get to create your own, and we're all good. That's worthless. There's nobody loses in that game. But if some chance you have a biblical belief in Jesus Christ, you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you speak. Why? Because we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And knowing the fear of the Lord, I persuade men. That's why I speak. I have a biblical faith. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat. And we're all going to stand before a fearful Lord someday. And so I speak and I persuade. Quite honestly, if you're a private practitioner, I think you're a coward. I just think you're scared. I think you lack faith. You have no faith. You know your philosophy and your belief is peanuts, and you're a coward. That's what I think. Because if you have an ounce of faith, you have an ounce of courage, and so believing, you will speak. And Paul says, I'm of good courage. I believe all my heart. This is a tent. And my Lord's coming back. And so I serve. I serve. And it's not about appearances. It's not about appearances. It's about everything that's on our heart. What's on your heart? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ? What's on your heart? Do you believe and so you speak? Are you a servant of the risen Savior? You're in ministry. It's not a religion. There must be enough of you here who are the real deal that the Spirit of God has says, I can use this bunch of people right here. I'm going to come and dwell here with them and watch what I do with some of the funkiest clay pots you've ever seen. They're here. It's here. And the Spirit of God is moving. What's on your heart? What's in your heart? This verse, Paul says, I'm not boasting. I'm giving you a cause, which means I'm giving you a starting point. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, this serving, by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart. We're courageous. We have a ministry. We serve here at Cornerstone, and you are doing it. Some of you, the Holy Spirit has had to come and just grab you by the nape of your neck and say, no, and you've tried to pull away, and the Spirit said, get back here. You're going to work. You're my servant. And the Spirit is working and moving. Doing things we're all uncomfortable with. Doing things we're all feeling a little vulnerable with. And the Spirit is, why us? We're the weakest bunch of little tents and pots you've ever seen. And He's moving in us. Because it's a ministry by the mercy of God. He's showing mercy on us. We're not about to lose heart. We're not about to lose heart. We're of good courage. We're going to jump right in and minister and serve all men, because we don't look at any man according to the flesh anymore. Anymore. I was coming to church this morning and heard Dave Engbrecht over there at Napanee Missionary Church. He said, you know, a lot of people, they shape their theology to match their lifestyle. They shape what they believe to match their lifestyle. That means you go by appearances. What you see and what you like and what is in your lifestyle, you shape your belief to match it. And I wonder, is there anybody here, if you looked real hard inside your heart to say, you know, the Spirit of God is really tugging on me, and I've been resisting because my lifestyle just so fits it right now. And the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, speaking, nudging, grabbing you by the collar, talking to you, wanting you in His ministry as a clay pot, wanting you to follow His leading. And you just keep shaping Him to fit your life. I wonder if there's anyone here that's ready, really ready, to just turn their life over to the Holy Spirit and let Him have you. Let Him have you. Here I am. I'm your servant. I am in your ministry. By your mercy, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I surrender. That'd be a great song to sing about now. While we sing this song, man, please ask yourself. Please look in your heart. Please be honest with yourself. Are you ready? Are you ready for the real ministry of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to quit going by everything your eye sees and picks up? All that glitters is not gold. Are you ready? If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, number one, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you need to come up here and do that. You need to come forward and say, I surrender all, Jesus. I want in the ministry. I want to serve. Fill this old tent. Fill this old tent. If you are a believer, and you know you're a believer, but that Holy Spirit's been working on you, it's time. It's time to come off your lifestyle and come into the ministry. Go where the Spirit leads. Go where the Spirit takes you. He's taken us. It's time that you get it right with the Lord.
Presence.
that said that my old life, my old self, my old tent is going to be swallowed up with life. The longer you hold on to your life, the longer you're holding off true life, swallowing you up. I'm going to pick on Darlene for a minute, because Darlene, somehow, at some recent time in her life, she has found the life of Christ in her. She's found the sweet spot of ministry. She's found life in Christ, not what she'd picked, not what she'd chosen. She took us over to a lady's house dying of cancer. And if you've ever been in a house with someone's dying of cancer and they live on the couch and the house is a wreck and there's smells and there's secretions and there's messes and there's things, and she loves it. She goes into that ministry and she loves it. She has found her time, what God created her for in ministry, in loving and sharing people with the love of Christ. If you are holding on to your life, you don't have life. Find real life. Be swallowed up with life by letting go of your life. And let the Spirit have you. And when you do, it could be the stinkiest, foulest, nastiest, ugliest, stupidest place on the planet, and you would have life and you would have joy and peace in Christ, and nobody could stop it. Because you have the life of Christ, and some of you are scared of that. Don't be scared. Be of good courage. Dave and Kristen want to give their life to Christ, and I'm guessing maybe she does too. What do you think? Amen. Man, look. Give it up. Give up your life. Give it up. And be swallowed up in life. Devon, would you come over here? Jeanette, would you come over here? Meet with these people. Talk to these people. Pray with them. They want to give their life to Christ. They want to give their life to Christ. Amen. Who wants? Somebody come over here and pray with this lady here. Jackie, would you come over here and pray with this lady? This is Henry. This is Big Henry's fiance right here. What's your name?
Loretta Lynn.
Loretta. This is Jackie Loretta. She's going to pray with you. Life is swallowing them up. The Holy Spirit's going to come in. Man, I'm praying. Whether you're not a believer, you need it. If you're a believer, you need to get loose from your lifestyle and get swallowed up in life.